It sings out that way, just as respecting the Old Testament. Do want to thank Carol for having our special today. I did not realize we have no piano players or organ players. They're all gone north to see what the snow's like. Our two organists or two piano players are scheduled to come back different times of the month, but we're just glad we can do a cappella. I mean, they didn't have an organ in the old, in the New or Old Testament, either one, so we're going to make it. What else was I going to say? Oh, I do want to emphasize, if you're a first-time visitor, everyone is welcome to our second Sunday of the month dinners. There's a sign-up sheet back in the back. We have a good time of fellowship. The food is outstanding. Just so many different. We have so many wonderful cooks here. They just did a variety. I didn't know there's that many different ways you could cook corn or green beans, but there is. There really, really is. If where I come from is all cooked in fatback. You can tell by looking. And then what else was I going to announce? Or something else. Colin, what else was I going to announce? Okay. Then I will read from the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and following. This is from the Apostle Paul. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be misinformed about those who sleep in death, so that you may not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Dear God, let us understand the great teachings that the apostles and the writers have given to us. For we know they weren't for themselves, they were for us. May we apply them to our lives and give us comfort and strength, even in time of need and sorrow. We have so many loved ones and friends whose names are on the prayer list, some recovering from surgery, others getting ready to have surgery or treatment. Bless them, their doctors and nurses and caregivers and their family and loved ones. For those, Father, who suffer or end times of their life, give comfort to them in the knowledge of saving grace of Jesus the Christ. We pray for our nation. And though we gave thanks on Thursday, let us continue every day to thank you for what you've done for us. And never forget that we are a truly blessed people as long as we call upon the name of the Lord. Bless our missionaries, our military, our first responders, those who help serve us and help make our life better. Help us to grow as a church, as a community, as a group of unrelated but truly related through the blood of Christ. And be with the speaker this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to go somewhere else for a second. They were looking intently into the sky. Now, I'll go back a page further. After Jesus said this, he was taken up and before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, and suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Now, I doubt if there's anyone in here. I'm really doubt if there's anyone in here who has not lost a loved one to physical death. It's just the nature of mankind. Since I've been here, I've lost both parents. It's just the nature of mankind. We get old, we get sick, and we die. And boys, if you lived in a world where that's all you believe, you're death and it's it and there's nothing else, what a sad world you must live in. Because there is no hope that way. But I believe there is a hope. And I think we need to share it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but about the day or hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven or God the Son, but only the Father. It was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. But up to that day, no one entered the ark. They knew nothing about it They did not know what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women in grinding at the handmill, one will be taken, and the other left. One more. Let me get you one more setup. Another favorite verse of mine, a really, truly favorite verse of mine, from the book of John, chapter 14, verse 2 and following. Now, let's go verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house, there are many rooms. King James says it better. There are many mansions. I like that one so much better. There are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to a place that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Of course, Thomas the doubter said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? To which Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I'm a literalist. I believe things are real. That's always been my nature. I truly stand before you today and believe there is a heaven. And I'm going to try everything that I can do to get there. And it's not something that I have to make up. My God path is right there in that book. It jumps around a lot. And we have to go searching at times. But it's there. John 3:16, you know that. For God, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's heaven. It's amazing what God has set up for us already. And because of his pre-plannedness, he's got a place for us to go. Now, at times we begin to wonder about things like that. There are times we may have people who said, well, it's not there, it's not true, it can't be. And it puts doubt in our mind. But let me tell you, the Bible talks about that. The Apostle Paul began writing to this group in Thessalonica about 60 to 65 AD. Jesus had been crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven some 30 years. They all thought that right after his resurrection, within days, if not weeks, that he would come back and take them all. And some people got very disturbed that they didn't understand why he had not done that. See, we often try to put our time frame on other people. Becky's sister came down from Kentucky with her husband and her son, and there were a total of 17 of us to have dinner on Thursday. So she's been planning for, if you know my wife, she's a planner. Dwight, no. Becky, yes. She's been planning for weeks. And she decided to farm it out, and one of them's bringing, we're doing the turkey, and somebody else is doing the dressing, and somebody else, you know how you ladies could organize things like that, and all come together. And it was going to be a really, really good day, you know. Our TV was on, ball games. Well, never mind that one. But they look so bad. But it was going to be an event. Then the phone call, like I told you a while ago, about 5:36 in the morning, Mama's fallen, she's got to go to the hospital, she's in bad way. The day right then is shot. All the plans and getting together at a certain time, and who's going to bring, it just all could have dissipated. And you want to just say, what am I going to do? Been looking forward to turkey. I mean, they didn't cancel the Macy's parade, and the dog show was on at noon. I don't agree with the winner, but they didn't ask me. And there's still the ones that didn't go to the hospital. Three of them did. Got together and said, all right, I'll still bring this, and I'll still bring that, and you bring that. And it all worked out together. And the men did the cooking. And nobody went to the hospital. Except my mother-in-law. So we make a lot of plans, and it don't always work the way we want to. These people thought Jesus was coming back right away. Some of them sold all they had. Others quit working, went and sat on a hillside, looking up in the sky, waiting for him. Because they had heard about the angels telling the apostles, this same Jesus, you saw him go up, he's coming back down. He'll reappear. We find out he will not reappear as a baby in a manger. which will make a lot of noise about it in the next couple of weeks, he's going to reappear as a warrior, as a general, as a fighter, with a double-edged sword coming out of his mouth, the gospel, the scriptures that he spoke. And when he comes back, he's taking a bunch back with him. This isn't an empty trip. And they said, well, I'm not understanding that. He's not here yet. And we've had people that saw Jesus live and heard him preach and that were there. And some of the apostles already, well, we know that John, James rather, is already dead. How can this be? So what Paul is trying to do is say, okay, you asked the question, I'm going to give you part of the answer. Now, there is a lot of writing about the second coming. And if you want to get your feelings hurt and your eyes swelled up and your head throbbing, start reading all of it. Because there's a lot of different opinions. Let me give you the end of the sermon before I get started in it. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what God's going to do. Do remember that. I read a 20-minute discussion about pre-tribulation and post-tribulation. I'm thinking, how much time can you waste on something you can't affect? Let's concentrate on what we can do, changing our lives and the lives around us. That's where it's important. Okay, let's go back now to the lesson, which is over here somewhere. Turn to page 4. Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death. They said these people who've died can't go to heaven because they weren't standing there waiting on Jesus. Because the angel said, you shall see him coming back down. And Paul is trying to say, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand and don't misinterpret what God is going to do. You see, Jesus had told them when he was alive and preaching that I don't even know when I'm coming back. The prophets didn't know when he was coming back. The political leaders didn't know if he was coming back, if they didn't think he was anyway. The kings and princes and Caesars, they didn't know. Only God knows. You've heard that phrase, haven't you? Only God knows. Sometimes that's very, very true. Only God knew. And it's when he gets good and ready, and not until then. And you can be with Hale-Bopp's Comet, and you can drink that purple Kool-Aid, grape Kool-Aid, and you can do all kind of things to try to hurry him up. God's coming when he's ready. Those who are asleep, if you're dead, he's still coming back for you. Let's go on. So do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Isn't it sad to have no hope? Isn't it sad just to give up? Last evening, when some of my kids and some of the others who were at the dinner we had went to see their grandmother in the hospital. The baby, Olivia, the one that had all the trouble, was out walking by the swimming pool and fell in. Well, when you hear that, you say, oh my gosh. She bobbed twice. She pulled off her glasses. She laid them on the side of the pool. She pulled herself out and said, I guess I'm in trouble. I got wet. Because she had hope. She learned how to swim and protect herself and had no fear. Then she got afraid her daddy's going to be mad because she got wet. But that wasn't a big deal. We sometimes put ourselves in situations where we don't understand and we get all panicky. God's got it covered. Now, if you think I'm saying that nothing's ever going to go wrong in our family, you weren't in here when we had our prayer list a minute ago. Not everything is going to be the way we want it to be. It's kind of like, of course it's not going to be the way we want it to be. It's going to be the way that happens in human life. We're going to have colds. We're going to have flus. We're going to have heart attacks. We're going to have car wrecks. There's a thousand things that go wrong with us each day. Yet, those who have no hope because they don't believe in God or they don't believe that God cares or they don't believe there's a heaven, they've given up. There's nothing else to go to. Boy, I loved the 60s and 70s music. But sometime they got really dreary. Remember that song, Is That All? How sad that was, about 68 or 69. Is that all? Then let's sing and dance. That's not all. But if that's all you believe it is, I can understand why you give up. God loves his children. God has made promises to his children. The rest then is up to us to become his children so that we can accept those promises and those gifts that are made to us. And when we fail to take care of our part, we want to blame God for it. It's not that way. We go on and say here, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Well, Paul didn't, but 11 of the 12 apostles who were still alive, Judas is dead, of course, they did. They saw him walk. They heard him preach. They ate fish with him. They knew what he had to say. And they saw it. And if God can resurrect Jesus himself, his own son, who was brutally tortured and murdered, why would he not want to resurrect his brothers and sisters? And that's us. We go on. God, we believe that God will bring with Jesus. When he brings Jesus back into heaven after he comes down and sees us with Jesus, all those who have fallen asleep. According to the Lord's word, we will tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who fall asleep. The dead will rise first. We are told that the sea will give up the dead, those who have drowned. We're told that the graves will give up the dead. But the dead will go before those of us who are still around. Now, when's that going to happen? I don't know. I'll either be dead or alive, one or the other, by then. And let him figure it out. He takes me when he wants me. He takes us when he wants us. He takes those who've chosen to be taken by him. It all falls upon our activity because Christ is sitting there ready all the time. But we have to take the first step. You got the key. The lock is there. You still have to put the key in, turn it, and open the door. Christ has got the other side of the door taken care of for us. It's ready. But what do we do? It's up to us. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. That's going to be an awesome event, isn't it? Well, the trumpet plays, and life shall be no more. Remember that song, The Roll Is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There? That's a promise for his children and his sons and daughters and the brothers and sisters of Christ. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those who are of us, we who are still alive and are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in heaven. So we're not going to miss it. You didn't have to die first. He'll take you where you are when he's ready for you. The key to it is to be ready for him at all times. He will talk about the thief in the night. The homeowner who is awake and ready can protect himself. He talked about Noah. They sit in that ark, that big old wooden thing with all those animals for 7 days. Still nothing. Imagine the ridicule they heard from the outside. But when that first raindrop, and we get the feeling that it's never rained before, when that first, because the earth was covered with a mist, when that first raindrop came down, and it's up to their ankles, and it's up to their knees, and it's up to their neck, I guess you got a lot of late-time believers after that. Way too late time. He said he'll be ready for us. So we will be with the Lord forever. What about that? I used to hate December 27th and 8th. Because we'd spent all year working to come down to Florida for those 2 weeks of Christmas and that week at Easter. Then we had to get in the car to go back to school for the kids. I told somebody a while ago, every time we stop for gas, we put on more clothes. Oh, you've been there, huh? You know what I'm talking about. You start off in short-legged breeches and no shoes. I mean, no socks. Before you get up there, you're wearing them insulated, thermal-insulated gloves and breeches and long johns and hat. You look like one of them bombable snowmen. Yeah, I hated those times. But now, we're in Beulah Land. For those of you that have to go back next week, I'm sorry. But you can move like we did. To meet the Lord in the air and to be there forever. And you know, from what I gather, it's a pretty nice place. Don't have to work. The food's already there. Water we want to drink is flowing from underneath the throne of God. The river of life feeds the trees of life. We're all protected. It's going to be a very nice event. And you know what else? Never buy a $13 watch at Walmart. It says it's $14.17.49 here on Saturday the 12th of the third month of the year. That'd be March the 12th. My watch is wrong. But it's always wrong. I won't need one of these in heaven. Because every day will be like the next. There'll be no darkness because God gives us the daylight from Him and Jesus. And it's a wonderful event. I've never told anybody this, I don't believe. I was at church camp, Bluegrass Christian Camp in Athens, Kentucky. I'm sorry for you all know what that really means, Athens, Kentucky. And I was having trouble. Not a lot of prayerful thoughts. And heaven was bothering me, and forever was bothering me. And this whole thing we're talking about was bothering me. And I simply said in a prayer one night at the Galilean service, God, let me understand this and take away the fear that I have for death. I'll become a minister. Never bother me again. God will give us what we need. And God will show us where we need to be and what we need to do. All we've got to do is follow through. And the more we doubt Him, the farther we try to put a separation between us, but God never moves. If there's a separation between us and God, it's because we move farther away from Him. He's steady and steadfast and ready for us at all times. But that day and hour that it's going to happen, no one knows. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2:19 says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? We're not even in the presence of the Lord until His coming. We can be happy here, but we don't know what happy is going to be. And it's going to be really great. I guess what I want to say is simply this. Therefore, Paul says, encourage one another with these words. That's a lot of the fellowship thing. We lift each other up. Very few of you are sitting here today with somebody that's physically blood kin to you on both sides. We're here with a group of strangers. But the problem is, we're not strangers. Because we are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And therefore, by being that way, we are not alone. But our task is to share the good news with others. That's what He's asking us to do. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Well, the words are that God loves you. He sent His Son for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a place for you. He's got a person for you. The plan is salvation. The place is heaven. And the purpose is none other than Jesus Christ, His one and only Son. So no matter how busy we get in the next 30 days, no matter how many Salvation Army bells you walk by saying, I gave you the last one. No matter how bad the traffic is on 41 or in the malls. No matter how many ugly people are to you. Celebrate the love of Jesus. That's what it's all about. What is that phrase? The reason for the season. That's it. His name is Jesus. And He's coming back to get us because I believe the words in that book. I told you I'm a literalist. I believe that book is true. And I believe He is coming back. And whether I'm in the cemetery or in the urns, see, Becky and I disagree. She wants to be buried. I want to be cremated. I guess whoever dies first loses. My people live in their 70s, her in their 90s, so it ain't going to be me. But wherever we are, or standing here on the earth when He comes back, when the glorious Christ comes out of heaven with the sound of the loud archangel that'll be heard all the way around the world, that the warriors of God, the angels of God, the captains of the kingdom, when they come down with Him, we win. We win. And the world gives up the dead, and Christ takes up the living. And we're going to spend the rest of our time For there is no time. The rest of forever. And it won't bother us with Jesus. If you're not a brother or sister of Christ, it's simply in the book. Matthew 16:16. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked the crowd. Well, some say Elijah or one of the prophets. He turned to Peter, who am I? And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this statement, the kingdom will be built. The statement was, of course, that Jesus is the Son of God. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom. What are those keys? It's not a set of keys like the jokes we make. A set of keys is chapter 2, book of Acts, 38 and following. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's all so simple. If you're not inside the love of Christ, if you've not accepted his call, if you've not taken your life and given it to him in baptism and serving him, we give you the opportunity right now. And Carolyn, I have no idea what the song is. 493. Stand with me as Carolyn leads us hymn number, and we don't have to wait on the piano today. Hymn number 493. And a one and a two.
Ready? Softly and